All right, open your Bibles tonight, please. The book of Ephesians again. Chapter 4. Toby said, Dad, my phone fell off the podium. You know, when I was growing up, when I was his age, get this, we actually used to have to print our words off. You remember those days, Bonnie? Now they're just on your telephone, cell phones. Oh, goodness. Anyway, the technology age. What we've been doing for a little bit now is, of course, last week we took a little different. We went, stayed in the book of Acts last Sunday night, I believe. We've been looking at forgiveness, and basically the choice is yours, to forgive or not forgive, to forgive or not to forgive. And when you look here in Ephesians chapter 4, of course, the Apostle Paul, the great writer and the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the great man of God that he was, and was, we know, he writes. And what I love about Paul's writings, what I love about his letters, is often what he'll do is he'll give you a lot of doctrinal things early on in his letters, and then he'll give you duty, right? So he, you know, with knowledge of great doctrines comes the application. So that's basically what we see here. He's now giving us, he's given us great truths in those first couple of chapters. And now he's really showing us how we can flesh that out, showing how we can live our life and conduct our life based on knowledge of who God is and what God has done for us and what salvation is and how we're saved. You know, he tells them that in Ephesians 2, we're saved by grace through faith. And so just tremendous, tremendous truths that Paul shares. And now, as we've been digging through these verses here for the last couple of times we've been in this, we've been talking about the context of forgiveness. We've been talking about, you know, as far as in life, and I think it's fair to say that if you were to use one word to describe the greatest thing, if I were to use one word to describe the greatest thing that's ever happened to me as far as when it comes to the Lord, it would be the word forgiveness. You know, God been forgiven. All of my sins have been forgiven. And I'll be honest, I mean, I got saved when I was 16, and I'm 45 and soon to be 46. But I'll be honest with you, friend, nearly 30 years later, and I'm still amazed at God's forgiveness. Aren't you? I mean, seriously, aren't you amazed that God has forgiven us? If you're born again, he's forgiven you of all the sins you could ever have committed. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. We've kind of dug through a couple of the verses already, and tonight, Lord willing, we'll get to some of the rest of the passage here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Man, well, every time I read that, I'm just captivated by that. Because I know, and I can say this for you, if there's one thing I do not want to do, I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do that. I don't want to grieve him. So now I believe Paul now, so he's challenged us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And now he's going to tell us, I believe, how we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. He says, whereby, verse 30, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we bow and we're thankful for your word. Heavenly Father, we're thankful as the third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us, directs us, teaches us more about you. And Father, teaches us your word. So Father, tonight I pray as we, as students, as pupils, sitting in your class tonight, God, I pray that you will just help us, Lord, and deliver us from any unforgiveness that we may hold in our heart. God, I know even in my life years ago, I told our church a story, but God, so many times what unforgiveness can do, you don't even realize. So, Father, I pray that you'll free us from any unforgiveness in our heart. And, Lord, that we will look forward to serving you with greater capacity and the freedom that we can enjoy in you because we've been set free from the bondage of unforgiveness and what it does and how it turns to bitterness and leads to all kinds of other things. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to love you even more. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, and in fact, it's been a couple weeks now, we talked about the advantages of forgiveness. The advantages of forgiveness. You know, one of the books I love to read, and I need to read a little bit more, actually, but I've tried over the years to make reading a discipline, reading a habit in my life. And, you know, my pastor, Brother Lamb, years ago used to say, readers are leaders, leaders are readers, and I think it's important. And one of the books I came across is a book by, it's called Forgiveness, the Ultimate Miracle, by a man by the name of Paul Meyer. Paul Meyer wrote it. It's a good little book. It's actually not on iTunes. You actually, go figure, you actually have to order a hard copy of it. Isn't that, it's just amazing what you have to do nowadays. But in that book, he really brings a lot of his own testimony. He talks about his family, he talks about his family dynamic, talks about, you know, his brother and forgiveness and not forgiveness. But what I love about his writings is he really digs in to this portion of Scripture in Ephesians, and he really brings out some thoughts and paints pictures of what these words really mean. And last week, we talked about the context of forgiveness. This is the context of, you know, the advantages. There are advantages to being a forgiving person. Now, we gave you a lot of the words. He talked about the bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. And we talked about what those were and what they looked like. So we know that being a forgiving person, it'll bring freedom in your life. It really, truly will. I mean, when you think about what the picture is of somebody that is unforgiving, we're given a story in the New Testament where Jesus talks about a king who was settling the debts with his servants. You remember that? Remember that story? It comes right after, and it comes right after a question that Peter asked. Peter asked the Lord, "Lord, how oft, you know, my brother sins against me? How oft should I forgive him? You know, 70 times. I mean, seven times. I mean, but Jesus, of course, takes it to a higher level. 70 times seven, daily. Basically, what the Lord's saying. I don't know if there's ever been any one person that has offended me 490 times in one day. But nonetheless, so Jesus, just as he does with everything, what the Lord Jesus would often do is he would take things to a higher level. If he was speaking on love, he would take it to a higher level. For example, he said, love one another. Remember when he said that? But he didn't just say that. He didn't just stop with that. He said, love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that my disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. So he takes love to a higher level. He now, as we look in these portions of Scripture, he takes forgiveness to a higher level. In the context, Peter asks that question. And then what Jesus does to illustrate what he means by being forgiven, he uses a story of Matthew, it's in Matthew 18, I believe it is. He uses a story of a king and his servants that he's settling the debts. The Bible says he wanted to reckon with them. And there comes a man who he's brought before the king, and he's a man that has been embezzling, no doubt. Seems to indicate he's been embezzling money. And he's racked up such a debt with the king that if he lived to be 10 lifetimes or more, he could not have settled the debt. But we know what the king does is the king forgives him all the debt, right? Forgives him all the debt. And that man, can you imagine walking out of the king's presence and you're hooping and hollering and you're thinking, God, wow, I mean, I could have been put in prison. I could have been sold. My wife, my children, that's what could have happened back then, could have been sold to try to settle the debt. But the king extended grace to him. He extended forgiveness to him. He extended mercy to that man. But then that same man, then he, as he leaves the king's courtroom, he comes and he finds another guy that owes him something. And he owes the guy that owes him, he owes him, you know, just pocket change compared to what he owed the king. And that man then gets angry and he takes that old servant by the throat and puts him in jail, all because of a little bitty pocket change. Now, when you look at it, and Jesus, of course, is fleshing out the topic of forgiveness, and he's saying and he's showing us that the king has had so much mercy on us, the king, King Jesus. He's forgiven us of anything and everything we could have ever have committed. And because of that, and Paul even uses it, and he says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, he said, you need to put away the bitterness, put away, you know, the malice, put away all of these, you know, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking, the malice, put it all away. Now we know contextually who's he talking to. He's talking to church members. He's talking to church members that are part of the local assembly in the city of Ephesus, that local church. So in the dynamic, in the backdrop of a church relationship, that's what he's talking about. He's really wanting us to put these things away. It brings forgiveness. It brings freedom in your life. It brings power in your life. He says, put off these things. And then he carries with the idea of putting off those bad things. But now he wants us to put on some good things. Meyer writes, and he says that the person who angers you will conquer you. The person who angers you conquers you. Wow. That's a good point. It also, he brings it out, it's proven, we know doing the research, and I've done a lot of research on this, it not only brings freedom, it brings power in your life, it's good for your health, if you choose to be a forgiving person. Studies show that people who forgive are healthier, have less stress, and have lower blood pressure. It restores your relationship with God. If you think of me for a moment in the context of forgiveness, our relationship with the Lord, is it worth minimizing your relationship with God? You know, when we choose to be unforgiving and we choose to hold grudges, and listen, friend, I promise you, I'm not just preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to me tonight as well, because I have to be careful, I have to watch that I do not become an unforgiving person, because, man, it can really happen, and it can happen faster sometimes, I think, than we think. Another thing that does, forgiveness is easier than unforgiveness. Who wants to be bitter, right? Who wants to be a bitter person? Who wants to wallow in their own self-pity? So it's easier than unforgiveness. Forgiveness brings hope. It brings joy. It brings a brighter future. Unforgiveness can blur your vision for the future, and it absolutely can. You ever met people who are absolutely eat up with unforgiveness, and it's turned to bitterness, and they're sour. They're sour of soul. You know what I mean? They're just so mean and just angry and mad at the world. You hear the phrase, they're mad at everybody. Well, to be honest, it didn't start out that way. It started out they got mad about something, and maybe they got angry at someone. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not making light, as you'll see in a moment, I'm not making light of the injury that has happened to you, because often, you know, this unforgiveness is a result and turns to bitterness. It's often the result of an injury. You've been hurt. You've been injured. And I'm not saying that is not, you know, I'm not saying light of that. I'm not saying, well, you know, you've been injured, so get over it. No, friend, injuries happen, and in churches, sadly, it happens. Man, people get hurt in churches, and I don't understand that, but it happens. But maybe I do understand, because anytime, as I said this morning, anytime you have a group of people, because we're human, because we're sinners saved by the grace of God, you know, there's often the opportunity for misunderstandings, or often the opportunity for being hurt, and not even, you know, the person who hurt you may not even realize they hurt you. So, I mean, in the context of all that, it brings hope, joy, a brighter future. Forgiveness, and here's another good one. Forgiveness allows God to bring justice. Forgiveness allows God to bring justice. You know, I've seen over the years, I've seen pastor friends, you know, go through things, and some thoughts that are in my mind even now, just some things that people have done and said and done to two of my pastor buddies. And when it's happened, man, it hurt them, and it hurt them deeply, only to allow time, only to see time, you know, go and years go by. And then I'm telling you, I've watched God and I've watched the Lord take care of situations and take care of, you know, things when they've been hurt, and just watch God and see how God often will take care of that situation. So it allows God to bring justice, and he'll do it. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed will do it. That's why you and I, we've got to be careful of what we often call knee-jerk reaction. You know, somebody hurts us, I'm going to hurt them. You know, that's the world's way, by the way. You know that, right? Well, preacher, I just speak my mind. Well, be careful. Be very, very careful in speaking your mind, because if we have the attitude that we're going to get even with people, then the Lord basically is just going to allow that to happen. And I would much rather the Lord Jesus fight my battles than me try to fight my battles. Does that make any sense? Does that make sense? Sure. I mean, I would much rather the Lord Jesus fight my battles. You do not have to run around town, and to quote Johnny Hunt, and I learned this probably 16, 17 years ago. You do not have to run around town defending your name. You just let the Lord Jesus Christ do it. You make certain that you're where you need to be spiritually, and God will take care of it all. So we see the advantages. We now see the approval, if you will, of forgiveness. There are blessings that happen as a result of forgiveness. We have an example, a model to follow in this text. Paul said it there in verse 31, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Think about that for a minute. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What an example Jesus was. You know, look at the text. Look at this. Let me just kind of flesh this out for a minute. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. So let's flesh it out. He then says, at the end of it, we've already read it, but let me just kind of mention it, and we're going to come back to this verse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Then now we go back into the verse and he says, be kind one to another. When I think of Jesus, he was a kind person, wasn't he? I mean, when you examine the writings of the New Testament and when you really do a study of who Jesus was and how he conducted himself, I mean, what was said of Jesus was he went about doing good. What a tremendous statement. Jesus was a kind individual. He then says, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Jesus was a tenderhearted person. He wept at the news of the death of his friend Lazarus. Forgiving one another. What's the opposite of tenderhearted? The opposite, I think, of tenderhearted would be perhaps hard-hearted. I don't want to be hard-hearted, and I know you don't as well. What can cause a hard-hearted person? What can cause your heart to harden? Well, one of the things that can cause your heart to harden is unforgiveness, because unforgiveness then turns to bitterness. I remember talking to a friend of mine years ago, and he said to me, Brother Chase, he had had his words, not mine, he had gotten really bitter by something. He had gotten hurt. His dad was a pastor, and got hurt, that his dad got hurt, and church people hurt him, and of course he saw it, he saw what happened to his dad, and this friend of mine, he really got bitter by that. And he said to me one time, he said, Brother Tracy, he said, I'll be honest, he said, I used to be somebody that would cry at the drop of a hat, not in a bad way, he meant it in a good way. He said, I used to cry, I'd be touched by something, whether it be in a service or whether it be a Christian song. He said, man, he said, God would often touch my heart, and it would bring emotion out of me. He said, Brother Tracy, he said, I've got to the point in my life, he said, I don't cry anymore. And here's what I'm going to say to you. Often the reason behind it, and I'm evaluated so far as looking at his life and listening to what he was saying, the reason he was no longer touched by spiritual things, was because he allowed unforgiveness to just really rob him of all of that. His unforgiveness turned to bitterness. And listen, again, I am not saying that he wasn't, I'm hesitant to use the word justified in his feelings, right? I mean, we get hurt. It doesn't feel good. You know, I don't know about you. I don't walk around when somebody hurts me. I don't walk around saying, praise Jesus, they hurt me today. Hallelujah. No, nobody does that, right? We're not, there's not an S that stands for super Christian on our chest. No, it hurts when people hurt us. But in the context of that, what you want to do, though, is you want to not allow it to control you. Because it will. I promise you, under God, it will control you. If you allow it to do that, if you allow it to fester in your life and fester in your mind and just constantly replaying it, I don't know, but sometimes, and just being transparent, I have to be careful because sometimes, man, I watch myself, and sometimes my mind just never shuts off. And my wife said the other night, I was laying in bed. Was it last night Michigan won? Was it the day Michigan State lost? Oh, yeah, that's right. But anyway, just sharing that by way of a prayer request, Brad. I'm praying for you, Brad. Pray for Brad. He has bitterness of soul now that Michigan State lost. This message is for Brad tonight. No, I'm just kidding. But as I was laying in bed, and I was, lights were out, TV was off, and so I was like, I'm going to check the score. I'm going to check the score. So I pulled my phone up, and it said, Michigan, down by one. with 3 seconds left. So I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for it to update. I'm sitting there and it's scrolling. And after a little bit, of course, Buttercup, she's asleep. She's right next to me. She's kind of laying there kind of asleep. And sure enough, it went zero, final, Michigan up one. They won. I hooped and hollered. I was like, woohoo! I said, she's like, what are you doing? I said, I got to turn TV on. I got to see the replay of this. And she says to me, she says, you're very distracted. Pray for me. Buttercup was not happy. Pray for her. She's struggling with bitterness today because I woke her up. But that was worth waking up. Amen, fellas? Thought, come on, help a brother out here, guys, you bunch of sissies. No, it was worth it, man, to see him win. But did I tell you Kentucky's still in it? But anyway, we'll leave that alone. What forgiveness? What is forgiveness? To forgive someone literally means to be gracious. Wow, what a thought. You say, yeah, but Pastor, they don't deserve to be forgiven. You're right. But neither did you, neither did me. I didn't deserve God's forgiveness. Forgiveness in the context of this passage, we don't deserve it. But friend, we so desperately needed it. Amen? We so desperately needed God's forgiveness in our life. So what does it look like? What are the, you know, there are some thoughts of content as far as in the context of advantages we talked about. We see the approval, and with that approval comes the blessings of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness, what does it do? To forgive literally means to be gracious. So in the context of what is forgiveness, it's only when you can define it, you can do it. Number one, it acknowledges the hurt. There's been an injury. You know, when you think about forgiveness, it all begins with accepting that you were hurt. Now, here's what can happen, and this isn't good either. You ever gotten hurt, and then somebody who's hurt you comes to you, and they'll say something like this: "Hey, man, I'm really sorry. Will you please forgive me? Will you please forgive me for hurting you?" And then you respond, and I've done this. I try not to do this anymore. Then you may respond like this: "Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm over it." That's not good. Don't do that. You see, because no, when a context of really forgiveness also, it's a choice. We choose to forgive someone, right? So it's an act of our will, to choose to forgive someone. So when somebody comes and says, "Hey, I've hurt you. I'm sorry for that. Will you please forgive me?" Don't brush it off and say, "Oh, it doesn't matter." No, it did matter. There was an injury. You've been hurt. You've been hurt, whether it's emotionally, whether it caused a spiritual injury in your life. So it acknowledges the hurt. Number two, forgiveness is keeping your eyes open, meaning you see the pain for what it is. No pretending. You're honest with yourself and willing to forgive and move on. It also, number three, is showing mercy. Now, mercy is the last thing the person deserves to get, but it's needed. You see, retaliation is what they deserve. But mercy is the fruit of forgiveness. They deserve to, retaliation, right? They deserve for you to snap back at them. But again, we don't want to do what the world does. We want to do what Jesus does, right? Amen? We don't want to do what the world does. The world pushes an agenda that, listen, you better hurt people. They're going to hurt you, so you might as well hurt them before you get them before they get you. That's what the world does. But Jesus is different. Jesus, in the Bible, here's what Jesus would say. Jesus would say something like this. Hey, if your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. Hey, pray for those. This is what Jesus said. Pray for those that despitefully use you. You know, I find in my prayer life, it's easy to pray for people that I love. It's easy to pray for my friends. It's easy to pray for people that are easy to get along. But you know, oftentimes, and I'm just being truthful, oftentimes the ones that need the prayers the most are the ones often that you want to pray the least for. Can I just be truthful? But you see, ladies and gentlemen, those are the ones that need our prayers. It's also, bless you, it's also in the context of forgiveness. You know, you say, yeah, but Pastor, there are people who are just mean. You know what I've learned? This is not original, but it's absolutely true, and I've seen it. I've seen it play out for 20 years in pastoring. Hurt people. You ever seen that? Hurt people. I did a funeral. And did that memorial service and talking with one of the sons who was kind of the executor of the estate, and he was taking care of everything, and he was telling me a little bit about his dad. And he said, yeah, Pastor, he said, you know, my dad was kind of a hard guy, and you know, he didn't really show a lot of love. He didn't show a lot of affection. He loved his dad. He said, but he was just kind of a hardened guy. Well, then as I began to dig a little bit, as I began to talk to him a little bit and try to frame the story, you know, to get to know his dad vicariously through him, come to find out, his dad had checked out on him when he was a young kid, right? So the son who I'm talking to did his dad's funeral. His grandfather, right? So his grandfather, the father of his dad, his grandpa checked out. He left him. He abandoned his family. So as a young age, his dad had to go to work. I think he was 13 years old, and he had to go to work, and he provided a living, and he helped his mom and his aunt, who his aunt never married, and she, you know, she stuck around and stayed with him. And, you know, so if we're not careful, we can look at something and we can say, man, that person's a mean person. Wow, look how mean they are. Listen, that may be the case, but you got to grab a hold of something. Often their behavior is just the symptom of something much deeper. The reason they're mean, the reason they react the way they do, is they've got a story as well. Can you imagine? Honestly, flesh out in your heart for a minute. Can you imagine being a 13-year-old kid having to provide, getting a job, and having to be the head of the household because your dad has checked out, he's gone, he's abandoned the family, and now you're talking about pressure, right? You're talking about somebody that no doubt there was a chance for them to become bitter, for them to become angry. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I mean, life happens. You're right. And I've often found that the ones that really need my forgiveness, the ones that really need my love, the ones that really need me to extend mercy in their life, is the ones that often are some of the meanest people you ever met in your life. They're ornery, as we'd say down home. They're just ornery people. But they need the love of Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, friend, chances are, this is a good word, chances are all they have ever seen when they've acted like that, all people like that have ever seen is for people to be mad at them, angry at them, God forbid, cuss them out, things like that. Wouldn't it be remarkable for them to perhaps see something different in you? For them to see you react in a way that may have been in a way that Jesus would have reacted? I tell you what, it's amazing how God can use stuff like that. I had a hardcore. He was a machinist, and he was a fabricator, and I worked for this shop for about a year and a half. And when I went in, he was a Polish guy, big old Polish guy. Karl Olemacher was his name. And Les and I hadn't gotten married yet. So I was about 21, I'm guessing, around 21 years age. So I went in and I got the job, and the first day on the job, he looks at me. He's rough, big old rough guy. He looks at me and he says, you know how to weld? Just like that, very kind, you know, you know how to weld? I'm like, nope, don't know how to weld. Never done it in my life. He said, good. He said, I appreciate your honesty. He said, there was only one man that was perfect, and they crucified him. I'm like, yeah, amen. Okay, great. So he taught me, and he would give me books. He said, now you go home, and you're going to learn about metallurgy. You're going to learn about this. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't make sense out of that stuff. I was just a drywaller, man. I didn't know all this kind of stuff. But you know what? I began to very intentionally try to build a friendship with Carl. Carl was rough. He was rough as he could be. He was ornery, but he had a tender heart. And every now and then he would be hollering. You know how that happens. He'd be hollering, and I would do something. I know you find this hard to believe. I would do something wrong. I would weld, and it would be wrong. I'd blow through aluminum. I mean, you name it. I would mess up something that costs a lot of money. And, you know, I'd cut something, and it'd be wrong. I'd mess up. But finally, he'd get mad, and he'd get aggravated, and he'd say something. I'd look at him and say, Carl, I said, you know what your problem is? What? I said, you just need a hug, man. I said, when's the last time your wife hugged you? And, man, he'd bust. You know, he would laugh, and I would use humor, try to de-escalate the situation. Fast forward, he had heart trouble. Goes into the doctor, goes into the hospital, ends up doing bypass surgery on him. So I went up and prayed with him. He gets out of the hospital. He goes home. Before he goes home, he stops by the shop. Literally leaves. He's just hardcore, man. They don't make him like that anymore. I mean, he was a guy that would, you ever seen like 55-gallon drums, right? Well, we used to have to weld inside of those, and he would climb inside of those with an air hammer, like an air chisel hammer, with barely any earmuffs, any hearing protection, just nah, 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 do that for 8 hours a day. I'm telling you, it'd drive you crazy listening to that. But he's just a hardcore guy. So he leaves the hospital. He comes back to the shop, and I never will forget it. He was raised Pentecostal, I think, or church guy, something like that. And he comes back to the shop, and all the guys, and we go, hey, man, good to see you, buddy. Good to see you're doing pretty good. And he goes, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I'm recovering from my bypass surgery. And, you know, we made small talk. And then I was by him. It was just kind of me and him and, of course, his wife and stuff. And I was kind of on his side of the car and was talking to him. He looked right at me. He said, hey. He goes, you know what? I said, what, Carl? He said, you've wanted me to... He said, because of you, he said, when I get healthy, he said, I'm going to change my church affiliation. I thought, man, I made you go Mormon. No, I'm just kidding. No, he goes, I'm going to change my church affiliation. He was going to come over and, you know, start coming to our church. And I thought, man, here was a guy who, to be quite honest, used to drive me crazy. I mean, he was set in his ways. He wanted it done a certain way. And that's the way you had to do it. Even if you knew, like, you know, I thought maybe this might have been a little different, a little easier. No, he wanted it done a certain way. So as a pupil, as an apprentice, I submitted to that, and I just, you know, I tried to learn. I can weld a little bit today, but because of him, he said, preacher, what are you trying to tell us? I'm fast-forwarding the story. So day got out. It's probably about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. That same night, early next morning, I get a frantic phone call from his wife, Tracy. She said, I've called the ambulance. They're on the way. He says he's unresponsive. So I was like, well, I'll meet you at the hospital. So I get to the hospital. He's unresponsive. He ends up passing away. He knew Christ as a Savior by his own testimony. He told me that. I asked him point blank. He said he knew Christ as a Savior. Fast forward all that. I end up preaching his funeral. Who, by the way, all the big wigs of the company, we're at the funeral. I was able to preach the gospel, share the gospel with him, all because of Carl Olemacher, who, I'll be honest with you, the average person probably wouldn't have lasted, you know what I mean? I'm not bragging on me, because believe me, I quit when I was a drywaller. I had a journeyman that was just a mean guy, and I walked off the job a couple times because of him. I was a lot younger back then. But when it was all said and done, his wife said to me, she goes, Tracy, she said, Carl loved you like a son. And she goes, because of that, she said, he had a ton of tools. And she goes, I want my, you know, my son's going to, you know, he picked through some and got some that he wanted. He was a lot younger. I think he was a young teenager. And she said, Carl would want you to have his tool chest. Carl would want you to have these tools. You know, and I look back over that, and here was a man, I promise you, here was a guy that was hardcore, man. He purposely would push you to try to see what you were made of. He purposely would push you to see if you were going to last, because he was old school. And the way he felt was he wasn't going to waste his time on you and pour into you and teach you the trade if you, you know, had no interest and you were kind of a know-it-all. But you see, and I say that not there is absolutely, God knows my heart, and there's nothing to brag of me. But I'm just trying to illustrate in my own personal life that it's often you never know how God may use just simply being kind to somebody who's mean. You never know how God may use you having a tender heart towards somebody, how God may use that. You never know how God may use being a forgiving person. You never know how God will use that. I was only there. Now I think about it, I think I was only at that shop for 13, 14, maybe 15 months. But God allowed us to build a relationship. At our wedding, they came to our wedding. All of them came to our wedding. At the baby shower, when my wife, we get pregnant with Ashley, they gave a, you know, big gift of all kinds of stuff at the baby shower. You never know how God can use just kindness. You never know how God can use that. So in the context of this, I mean, what is forgiveness? It's keeping no record of wrong. Wow. You don't bring it up to them again. No longer allow it to influence you. What is forgiveness? It means living free from bitterness. Wow. The power to change, as far as the word of influence. Influence, you don't allow it to influence you. Living free from bitterness. Hebrews talks about, you know, the root of bitterness springs up and it poisons everything around it. You see, in the context of being a forgiving person, it allows you to live free from bitterness because you don't allow the poison into your life to infiltrate others in your life. Forgiveness, here's another one, is taking responsibility. The choice is yours. You're responsible with your own life and choices. Let the person who injured you take their responsibility and you take yours. You can choose to forgive. Number seven, it's being honest about reality. Honestly evaluating your situation and your options. You may be reconciled with the person who hurt you and you might not. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes it isn't, because it always takes two people for a relationship to be restored. If restoration occurs, great, but if not, you have already forgiven. And I think sometimes that's people don't really understand that. They think, oh, okay, you know, forgive the person and everything goes back the same way it used to be. Not necessarily. Forgiveness is not restoration. Restoration often takes a process. Forgiveness is a act of the will to choose to forgive, therefore to allow it to not influence you anymore. Being honest about reality. Forgiveness is an attitude. It begins with a choice you make. Forgiveness also, and last of all, forgiveness is a lifestyle. Wow. It's a lifestyle. I like that. You don't have to weigh situation and consciously decide if you're going to forgive or not. It's a lifestyle. Choosing to forgive. And I hope, friend, that that'll be our heart. I hope indeed that that'll be our passion to be a forgiving person. You say, yeah, but pastor, people do mean things. You're right. But here's what I know about Tracy Harold. I would do the same things if it weren't for the grace of God in my life. I'm telling you, under God. Say, people, preacher, hurt. People sometimes hurt me and people say mean things and people do awful things. Again, please hear me. I would also, if it weren't for God's grace in my life, I sincerely mean that. So when that happens, you know, I'm not excusing what they did. And I think mean people, you shouldn't be a mean person. What do you got to be mean about? I mean, if Jesus has forgiven you of your sins, especially contextually in this context, if he's forgiven us of our sins, what in the world is there to be mean about? I mean, think about that. We're on our way to heaven when we die. All of our sins have been forgiven, and because they're all, I mean, if there is anybody on the planet that should have a smile on their face and joy in their heart, it should be forgiven people, right? So if that's the case, we need to then be like Christ, and I'm saying it even to myself, we need to be like Christ and take the higher road, right? Take the higher road and give forgiveness even when they don't deserve it. They need it. Stand with me, please, for an invitation. If the Lord's touched your heart, you need to respond. We want you to do that. Maybe here tonight, you do not know Christ, your Savior. Sweet friend, I'd encourage you right now to repent of your sin. Believe the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel. Ask God to forgive you of being a sinner and trust Christ before it's eternally too late. Maybe that's your decision tonight. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but if I'm just honest, if I'm honestly honest in my heart, I'm a bitter person. And the reason I preach, my mind and my heart goes back to something that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It could be as fresh as a month ago. I mean, it doesn't matter as far as when it happened. What matters is the effect that it's had on you. You say, pastor, I'll be honest, I'm just gotten bitter, man, because somebody hurt me. And to be honest, pastor, what bothers me about it all, they hurt me and they don't really care that they hurt me. People, there are some people like that. You know what I call people like that? Miserable people. Miserable people that live to just hurt people. There's something wrong. But you know what? When I look at my life, Jesus forgave me of everything. The least I could do is forgive them of one thing. Forgive, or whatever, you can do the number. Forgive them. If it's 100 things, forgive them. If it was 1,000,000 things that they've done, forgive them. Why? Because God's forgiven me of a lot more. And to be quite honest, I don't know where I'd be today if it weren't for his forgiveness. So maybe today, maybe tonight's invitation is for you that are here tonight that are really struggling and say, preach, I'm really struggling. Hey, I love you. I mean it. I love you with all my heart, and I'm saying this as your pastor, but also as a friend. Forgiveness really has not as much to do with the other person as it does with you. Forgiveness is about freeing you. It's about taking the keys out of your own pocket and letting yourself out of jail. Because that unforgiveness has put you in a jail, and man, you're bitter. That's why you argue all the time, and you know, you're constantly on edge, and if anybody says anything, man, you go off, and everybody walks on eggshells around you because you're like a ticking time bomb. And to be honest, often the whole reason you're that way, the reason the behavior is like that is because of an injury. You got hurt, and it's turned to bitterness because you chose not to forgive it. I hope tonight that right there in your pew, you don't have to tell anyone. You can talk to God about it. If you want me to pray with you, I will. But right there in your pew, you can talk to the Lord about it. He'll help you. Choose right now, as I did in my home, sitting in my chair, I chose right then and there to ask God to forgive me for being a bitter person, for being an unforgiving person towards my mother. And right there, I said, God, I choose to forgive. I choose, God, to forgive, to not allow it to influence me now. My mom and I, well, we've been talking a little bit now. We've been talking quite a bit now with the kids and stuff. That situation. My mom needs the Lord. If she's truly saved, I'm praying that she is. Praying that God, you know, gets her back. She has been going to church, and I'm grateful to God for that. God can still do things with her life. Amen. He can still use her. He can still use her greatly for His honor and glory. I've been forgiven, so I want to be a forgiving person. You come as we sing. What's your number, bud?
317.
317. You come as we sing.
Search me.
Appreciate your good attention tonight. How many we have tonight, guys? 103. Praise the Lord. Back over 100 on Sunday nights. Yeah. And thankful for that. We are going to have a business meeting. We'll take about a 5-minute break and give you a chance to get a drink or something. And thank visitors that may be here tonight. Appreciate them coming. Anything to add, Ryan?
Choir practice 4:30 again next Sunday.
Yep, 4:30 next Sunday in preparation for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And thank you, choir, for your dedication. You guys did a great job this morning. And I appreciate you using your talents for the Lord. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Joe, Demaz, dismiss us in prayer, bud, if you will.